Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Taking advantage. Freeman drives the ball. Deep left center field. That one's gone! Freddie Freeman on another planet!
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
That's our guy Joe Davis, right?
The head of his life.
The play-by-play. He's the voice of the Dodgers. He's not of this world. Freddie Freeman.
Maybe NL MVP Freddie Freeman. Maybe. We'll see.
Excited for Joe Davis NFL games this year?
I'm excited for all NFL games this year. Doesn't matter who's calling them.
I am.
I'm good.
I'm especially excited for... The problem is like, I love how everyone was like, whoa, like, no one complained about Romo until the playoffs. It's like, yeah, because everyone's watching Red Zone. Because like no one's watching 3 hours of like whatever
that's
the CBS game is. Like no one's watching that. I'm excited for Tony Romo to be back in our lives. Candidly, I can't wait to have Romo back. The Nansen Romo
and Gene Steratore, Jay Feely.
I was gonna say
CBS NFL team.
Yeah. So I was watching pregame and it seems like his range is like 48 to 52. Do you need to be a former kicker to know that? You just need eyeballs and like a semi-decent knowledge of how the NFL works.
Yeah. It's really an amazing, like the whole crew is, it's remarkable that they've like assembled this former official, former kicker, Tony Romo. Like they're all on the same crew. Like what?
And then one of the best
them.
Play-by-play
they're
guys
also
ever
really good
probably
the
wants
show.
To die.
Yeah.
Oh, they're great for the show. And actually, I think I've come all the way around. I think that there's a great period. Anyway, that's NFL. We'll do more NFL coming up in hour number three. 8 buckets. Joey Kanish coming up 20 minutes from now, talking, you know, basically everything in the world of sports betting, as Kanish does when he joins us on the show. Power Hour, Final Hour, all our bets for tonight, and our bets for Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final, and maybe some bets for Game 2 of the NBA Finals coming up on Sunday. But for now, we've been teasing this throughout the show, starting with the show open, that... How can we use the month of May, which obviously just transpired? We're sitting here on Friday, June 2nd, 2023. How can we use the month of May to try to determine who will win the World Series in Major League Baseball? My guy, Ken Barkley, has at least, I would imagine, like a, if not like the answer to the question, at least like a map to maybe answer this question. I don't like sell this being like Ken Barkley is going to tell you who's going to win the World Series. But
it's
Ken has some
ruse.
Good thoughts here, as he always does.
You've been tricked. You've been hoodwinked.
Bamboozled.
Yeah. The wool's been pulled over your eyes by me.
So, Ken, how can we use the month of May to determine who wins the World Series in Major League Baseball?
It's one of those kind of like really interesting things when you like, I just like to look at like for every sport, are there times of the year that tend to tell you who the champion is more than other times? And for college basketball, it's always one of the ones I think is the most interesting, that the non-conference portion of the season, like, you know, the Diamond Head Classic in Hawaii or wherever the hell they play it. And the, you know, the random like one-off like game at Madison Square Garden, like all that stuff that you're not even really paying attention to. Like the non-conference portion of the season is more predictive than the conference portion of the season to tell you who's going to win. UConn didn't lose in non-conference play. Didn't lose a single game. Covered every game too. Pretty unbelievable. And that's not unique to just last year. Non-conference play is really predictive in college basketball, who's going to win the title. You can learn a lot from it about who's going to win, just like you can learn a lot from other times of the year, but you can learn more from non-conference play. And, you know, we can do all the other sports too, but it doesn't matter. In baseball, May is like a weirdly weirdly interesting month. Like you'd think, man, it's still like the first third of the season, you know, May 1st, the weather might not even be good everywhere yet. Like, you know, it's a long since guys are injured. They haven't come back yet if they were injured to start the season. And yet they're basically like the two most kind of predictive months of just like who the World Series champion is going to be. Are May and July. And July is interesting because you have the trade deadline and you have teams like beefing up to get better, and you have those teams kind of ascending and the other teams dropping, which is interesting. So maybe that's one reason why July makes a little sense. But May has always kind of been like right there and even a little more predictive. The average winning percentage for the World Series champion both months is about the same, about 60%. So, you know, like the team that wins the World Series, they generally win a ton of games in May, they win a ton of games in July. And since the strike, so 95 on, that's 27 World Series champions. I kicked 2020 because obviously the season didn't play a normal 162 games. Like, why would you ever use like July when we were playing, you know, like COVID shortened season? Doesn't make any sense. So if you kick 2020, you have 27 teams since the strike. 25 of them have gone 500 or better in May. It's actually been a weird, and you might be like, so my first thought when I saw this, because I noticed this first, and then I looked at teams like from, you know, 2 years ago and last year at the end of May, and my first thought was, okay, but like every team is probably 500 or better in May, like all the good ones are at least, or even like all of, like any team worth their salt is probably like, it's just 500. It's gonna win half your games for a month. It can't be that hard. And it's not like there's only two teams that went over, you know, 50% or better in May or whatever. But this is like the first filter of like 12 filters that it's going to end up telling us probably a lot about who's going to win the World Series. And we got the first one already. It's already here. Like, we got to wait till the end of the season for most of these. How good are you on the road? How good are your two best pitchers? Like, kind of what is the like kind of archetype of your best hitters? Like, there are lots of, baseball's a heavy statistical sport. There's a lot to go through, and May's one of the things. There were actually, so I didn't look at the bad, like, because who cares about the bad? Who cares what the A's were in May? In the AL, I think I wrote down 10 teams. Yeah, AL, I wrote down 10 teams that I thought had like a realistic shot of winning the World Series, and I went, you know, realistic is a loose term. And in the NL, I put 9. For discussion, and the NL Central, I guess we could add more if we want to. I grabbed the Cardinals as the 9th team just because, like, I think it's fun to grab the Cardinals. And I just looked at some of these teams, like who was 50% or better in May and who wasn't. And you've actually been following baseball a little bit. There were only two of like the contending teams in the AL, so like the not Oakland, the not the White Sox. There were only two teams that went sub 50%, sub 500 in May. Do you want to try to guess who they are in the AL?
Can you ask the question just so I have like exactly what the question is?
In the American League, give me like, aside from the awful teams, so of the following teams: the entire AL East, Minnesota, and the entire AL West minus Oakland. All those teams, there are two that won less than half their games in May. They were bad.
Toronto
is one.
Will I be able to get the other one? I know Cleveland didn't, but that was not one of the choices that you gave. Yeah. I would have to, I would guess the other one, and I'll guess Seattle, but I could be off on that.
Minnesota was the other one who didn't win. And the funny thing is, it's not like, it doesn't mean like Toronto can't win the World Series, but just this is going to be like one of the criteria that I use throughout the season. Like, May performance goes in, as does like 10 other things. And you're kind of like up against it historically, just for people who are just curious, like who the two champions were that didn't play very well in May. The Nationals in 19 were 41.4% winning percentage in May. And the Knicks' favorite team, the 2003 Marlins, were the other one. They won about 43% of their games. So just those two. That's it. Everybody else 50% or better since the strike. That's pretty long. That's a pretty big sample. So kind of interesting. Thanks, so Bartman. Toronto and Minnesota. You love the Marlins. You have brought them up a lot on the show in the last couple months. They brought them up like 5 times.
I mean, what are you going to say as a Yankee fan? That team shoved it where the sun doesn't shine for the Yankees. Like they beat our ass. What can you do? Also, like, thanks, Steve Bartman. Like, much appreciated, yeah. Bartman. And
we're
Dusty
in this
Baker.
May trend too. Yeah.
Yeah, let's just have Terry Wood and Mark Pryor throw like 9 million innings and have their arms get completely blown out by the end of that series in the NLCS. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Maybe it does. It still does to me a little bit.
So Toronto and Minnesota, everybody else like kind of gets a pass on this one, or it's not like can't be used as a strike against them. So Rays, Orioles, Yankees, Red Sox, Rangers, Astros, Mariners, Angels, they were all 50% or better in May. The NL is a little more interesting. And just one more note on the AL here real quick, because the market is still going to be shaped. May is such an interesting month in awards and in the World Series, because there'll still be some like hanging on to teams that maybe just are bad, that maybe just aren't very good. You'll still see like in the market, like pitchers in Cy Young, and it's like, yeah, you know that pitcher sucked for like 2 months now. Maybe he's not going to win Cy Young, and the odds just won't. They'll start to slip now as we get into June, but they haven't slipped yet, and they just should. I mean, a lot of those guys can't win. And in the World Series market, you kind of see the same thing, right? Like the Twins get a lot of credit in the World Series market. They really do. They were, I think they're like the sixth choice right now, or the seventh choice in a couple places to win the World Series. They're like 20-1. This is kind of a strike against them. Toronto is the perfect example of a team that everyone thought was going to be good before the year, and it just hasn't clicked yet. And like, I'm kind of here to tell you that it not clicking matters. Like it's not just, well, they'll flip a switch and they'll get way better and maybe they can still win the World Series. Not really, if you believe this stuff. So it's just kind of interesting. Like May is always this transition month where it's like, oh, that team is bad. Or, oh, like that player isn't going to win an award. And you'll see the odds start to really move now to reflect what's actually happening as opposed to kind of what we projected before the year. So those are the two in the AL. And we can do the NL here in a little bit.
You better hear what Nick and Ken trying to use the month of May to determine who might win the World Series this year on a phenomenal Friday. So let's go to the National League. And I know, and I don't know if you were planning on asking me the same question here, like,
no, sure,
World,
you know,
Series contenders that. Well, yeah. The Phillies, for sure, because we talked about them yesterday. The Padres also had a bad month. Yeah, the Phillies
are just bad in general, May or otherwise. Got
dump trucked by the Mets. Yeah, they're bad. But also, like, to be fair, played for the World Series last year, and I think people may just be thinking, like, okay, well, went to the World Series, maybe they'll turn it around. Obviously, have talent on the roster, but they just seem like a bad team. And the Padres also had a brutal month, right?
They were terrible, too. The Padres are a really interesting one for the, like, what we thought before the year versus like what we're getting. And I know they scored a billion runs yesterday, but like Soto's been kind of, he's got like a back soreness thing. He struck out three times and they replaced him yesterday. So it's like, it's just been a little like, obviously Tatis didn't come back for a while. Machado's hurt. It's just like, I don't know. You were bad brew in the chat. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's, or it's just like a mediocre brew. You know, it doesn't have to be bad. Like they don't hate each other. It's just like a blech. It's just, yeah, like I'm good. Like warm milk, you know, just kind of like, all right, I'm just good on this.
And a good division. And the division's good.
Yeah. So the Padres are, I think, an interesting team using this exercise. The Phillies are, because they made it last year, pretty interesting team. I mean, the most interesting team in both leagues is the Mets. That's the most interesting one by far. And the Mets are going to be a really interesting one. And this is sort of like when we talked about how bad the Warriors were on the road in the regular season, and people were like, well, I know that's how it usually works, but the Warriors are different because they've had a lot of success and we thought they were going to be really good. And they have a lot of excuses for why they would have been bad on the road. The team didn't play as much together. Wiggins wasn't around for a while. Curry was hurt for a little bit. So like, it was a lot of like, well, this one's going to be a little different. And I think with the Mets, people will be like, well, wait a minute. Like Scherzer and Verlander together really just became a thing. Like they just finally are kind of like now saying like Senga is finally going to start pitching on normal rest in his next start. Hasn't been pitching on normal rest the whole season. Has been getting an extra day or more because like in Japan, that's how they do their rotations. So like maybe it can be a little different. Like maybe the Mets are a team where, well, I don't care that they stunk in May because they spent $1 billion and they got all these guys and the pitchers were hurt and whatever. And like, cool, but sort of like with the Warriors road, I guess it's kind of like, or this still matters, or you should still have won more games in May, or that should have still happened. So I think the Mets, the Brewers are another team that went under 500. So Phillies, Brewers, Padres, but I think the Mets are the really interesting one because you're like, you're not sure whether to believe yet what they are because they've had so many excuses for how they played.
And I think what's really interesting about the Mets is after like substandard starts of the season, people are like, at least locally here, are thinking, is Buck Showalter going to be on the hot seat with all the money Steve Cohen spends and like the team is underperforming right now? As it stands right now, they're only 3.5 games. And I understand it's very early. they're only 3.5 games out of the division, and they have a 3-game set in Atlanta coming up at the beginning of the week, and they're going to have both Scherzer and Verlander pitching in that series. So, like, this could be a situation where a week from now, and the Mets, I think play the Pirates next weekend, where, like, we could be talking about the Mets as being within striking distance of first place in the division, and maybe like the conversation right around the Mets is completely different. And I don't want to turn this into like too like New York centric here, because I'm a New Yorker, but like as a Yankee fan, the Yankees obviously like dominated the month of May and like played really well. Like
they were great.
I hope I'm wrong about what I said early in the season. Kind of gives me faith that like the Yankees might, I mean, they'll lose in October because the manager is a clown, but at least gives me a little more faith in what the Yankees might be sure able to do. So Ken, in the time we have remaining in the segment, like you want to like tie a bow on this, like what like the big finding here is, or like are there bets to be placed, etc.?
Yeah, I would just be skeptical of teams that just played a really poor month. I would actually, and don't just say, hey, it was early in the season, who cares? That's not the right approach to take with how teams played in May historically. It should be a part now of how you feel about teams. It should be, even if it's a small part, it should be a part of handicapping who's going to win the World Series. And it should stand out. And you should be skeptical of teams that were bad during the stretch, that they might just be bad or they might really have flaws. The next thing to think about, there'll be a lot of them, but of the teams that we kind of passed this test that had good Mays, just kind of be like, all right, when we get to the end of the season, are they going to have a dominant number one and number two starting pitcher? Whether that could be acquired via trade, someone who's just started playing well, like of the teams over 50%, who is now like stacking up that way? And you'll obviously eliminate them even more. We'll do that as we get closer to the end of the season.
Tell you what, you know, Guardians and Twins, both with bad Mays. The Tigers going to win this division? Maybe not.
Nah, Eduardo Rodriguez though, right? Is hurt now.
Yeah, that sucks.
Bad.
All right, coming up next, Joey Kunis joins us talking all things sports betting here on the show.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.